Christmas begins tonight and continues for 12 days. At Christmas time, we think about presents. We think about the gift of the Holy Child. We think of the presents we might receive and the presents we will give and to whom we give those presents. I'm thinking about a Christmas more than 50 years ago. I was in the largest town of 500 people on my reservation out on the prairies. It was the Christmas after my first term in seminary in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Everything in East Coast, Massachusetts seemed so foreign to me. Being home on my reservation was soul refreshing. That Christmas Eve, a powdery snow had fallen, but a bitterly cold wind was blowing, and the ground was icy everywhere. My father celebrated and preached at the 11 p.m. so-called midnight mass. Trinity Church stood on the main street, but then again, it was the only street in town. That night, the tiny church was packed with people standing at the back and at the sides of the church. I had been recruited as organist, since the regular organist wasn't able to get into town because she couldn't see the road in the ground blizzard conditions. Christmas morning, my family was not up early due to the late night Christmas mass and then the social gathering that my parents hosted following the mass. On Christmas morning, my mother had been up since before dawn, starting all the roasting and the cooking for our midday meal. The sky was a very dark gray, and the blizzard wind was still blowing hard. The continuing ground blizzard created almost full whiteout conditions. It was hard to see more than a few meters, maybe a half a block at most. Christmas morning, my father said he wanted to check on someone, and he asked my mother to put some groceries together. My mother was used to this request, and so she raided our pantry supply of canned goods, some store-bought, and some of my mother's own canned items. As there were going to be grandchildren in the house we were visiting, my mother found candy and fruit to go into the grocery box. In my Lakota First Nation, family names were invented by the government by translating the man's head of household's name into English. Those names usually remembered some honored quality or event in that family's life. My own name, Broken Leg, comes from my medicine man grandfather, who was also a horse trainer, and whose leg had been broken when he was thrown off many horses over all those years. But this is a winter story tonight, and the elder we were checking on was named Mrs. Cracked Ice. A good name for a winter story. Mrs. Cracked Ice had been a widow as long as I could remember. Her tiny one-room house was on the north side of that little town on the prairies. We stopped our car in front of the house, and my father knocked on the door. The wind was fiercely cold. The minus 30 temperature was bone freezing with a strong wind blowing. She opened the door and welcomed us in. Mrs. Cracked Ice spoke only in our Lakota language. The one-room house had no insulation. The wall studs showed the clapboard exterior lumber, and it was dusted with frost. One window faced the north, and one faced the south. We had entered through the door on the east side of the house. Out back, there was an outhouse, and their water supply was in an enamel pail that rested on a low table. Their light came from a kerosene lamp that stood in the middle of a table. Three people lived in that room. Mrs. Cracked Ice, who seemed ancient then in her 70s, and her two granddaughters, who were 6 and 9 years old. Their parents had been killed in a car crash some time before, and so their grandmother was raising them. They were very poor, but so were we all. On the wall above the one bed where they all slept, there was a large nail that held one change of clothes for each of the granddaughters and one change of clothes for the grandmother. The only heat in that room came from a single unit kerosene burner. To make heat, a pot of water was boiling, since the moisture would make the above freezing temperature feel a little bit warmer. Balanced on the south window was a small transistor radio broadcasting Christmas carols. The girls were very shy and stood with their eyes averted, except for an occasional glance. I recognized this gracious behavior in traditional Lakota girls. Mrs. Cracked Ice spoke her gratitude when my father said that my mother had sent her some groceries. Mrs. Cracked Ice said that she had planned to come to church the night before. She said she had wanted to take her communion at Christmas, but she was afraid of the ice. She said if she fell, the girls would not be able to catch her. She said they had gotten their Christmas offering to God ready, though. She and the girls had spent days walking in the ditches alongside the highways around town to look for aluminum cans and bottles that they could sell at the grocery store. She turned to me and handed me a worn blue floral handkerchief with some coins tied in the corner. She asked me to put that offering in the collection plate when I went to the church where I was going to school. I told her I would do that. We shook hands and wished one another a Merry Christmas, and my father and I drove home. When I returned to my seminary, I took that offering and put it in the alms basin. I told the priest, who was also the seminary dean, about Mrs. Cracked Ice, so he would understand who had given this present to God, and just how important this Christmas offering of 74 cents was going to be. It was an important gift that she gave to God. I never knew what happened to Mrs. Cracked Ice or to her granddaughters, but I think of them and their gift at every Christmas. At Christmas, we think about presents, the presents we will receive, and those we will give, and to whom those presents are given, to other people and to God. And we think of the gift of the Holy Child. Amen.